Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan, live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area, because it works. Visit EMP180.com, get empowered. So Friday, that means our guy John Feinstein joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf. On and off the course, Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing great.
Hello.
How are
doing
you?
Doing well.
Can't complain.
I want to can't want to complain. What in the world is bothering John Feinstein? Nothing?
No.
There's always something
bothering me. I have to give it some thought. Army's lost three straight basketball games. That bothers me. I got to see them play tomorrow. A couple people haven't texted me back who I need to hear from soon. So it's minor stuff. This week, I have to say, after the Super Bowl, it was interesting how quiet the anti-Patriots people were, because you know there was no way to say they cheated, or you know you could say Belichick's a bad guy, Brady's a bad guy, the usual stuff. But it seems like we've finally gotten to the point where people just accept the fact that the Patriots are great and have been great under Belichick and with Brady, and I like that. I think it's time to do that. I know that I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a Jets fan. You guys know that. But I think you have to credit greatness when you see it, and they have been extraordinary.
I wonder if you could put Frank Robertson in perspective for me, because here's interesting, and I hesitate to say this because I didn't know him well, but the few times I did see him, I got to tell you, he was a cantankerous, kind of angry guy. Like I never got a good vibe from him, and I feel bad saying that. But I didn't know him well.
Well, you didn't. You should read Barry Sferluga's column this morning because it sort of speaks to what you're saying. I mean, Frank was not a guy who engulfed you with warmth when you first met him. He was often cantankerous. I think that's a good word.
Thank you.
Boz's column this morning was also terrific. Both of them were great. But his place in baseball history, let's separate the two.
For sure.
When he retired, he was fourth on the all-time home run list, before and played most of his career before all the smaller ballparks were built. He was an MVP in both leagues. The year he had in Baltimore in 1966, that's one of the first years where I sort of can remember baseball, and I remember the Orioles sweeping the Dodgers in that World Series and how great Robinson was. And, you know, if you go back through history, people will list the Robinson from Milt Pappas trade as one of the greatest for one team and one of the worst for the other team in history. I didn't deal with him much, but he was always pretty good with me when I did, because he loved golf and he loved basketball. And as you probably know, he went to high school with Bill Russell. Was a good high school basketball player. So he would sort of, you know, relax a little bit talking basketball and golf with me, and that no doubt helped. But I've told this story before. The very first time one of the very first times I was in his presence was in 1991 at the winter meetings. I was starting the research on my first baseball book, Play Ball, and I was in the Orioles suite. Every team has a suite, and the beat writers will go and talk to the general manager at the end of each day to kind of get updated on what is or is not going on. And I'd gone up with the Oriole beat writers, you know, post-cover the Orioles at that point because the Nationals didn't exist. And I was standing in front of the television, unaware, talking to somebody. And Frank said, "Hey, John, can you move out of the way? I'm trying to watch the game." And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." And as we were walking out, I said to some of the guys, "Wow, I can't believe Frank knew my name. I've only talked to him once or twice." And Mark Maskey says, "He asked me, what's that guy's name standing in front of the television?"
Right, right.
So great that story. Brought me down a few notches. Right. But, yeah, he could certainly be cantankerous, but – I think both Boz and Barry made a point that that first year here in D.C., 05, when baseball came back, he managed a team that everybody picked to lose 100 games. And they were 51-30 at the All-Star break. Now, they fell apart after that. But he did an amazing managing job with that team and brought the community. It wasn't so much bringing the Nats to the community as bringing the community to the Nats and baseball. And that I think that was very important.
He's obviously a complicated guy in a different kind of way. But, like, I think Riggins is a complicated guy, right? And I got to know him a little bit better. And so now I kind of understand him a little bit. Maybe you don't know him that well, but I'm just wondering what made him so angry. You know what I mean? Where did that come from?
Well, I think probably some of it goes back to when he was in the minor leagues playing in the South and would have to go check into a YMCA because all the hotels they traveled to were segregated.
Right.
And you know, in those days, there just weren't that many African-American players in the minor leagues and in the South. And he went through that. He lived through that. He became very outspoken on civil rights as he got older, which is a good thing. But unless we've experienced something like that, which none of us have,
right?
Let's face it. It's hard to understand what that must be like. And I think he's also a great competitor, and great competitors tend to get angry if you question who they are in any way.
Right.
Hey, John, I wanted to ask you about what Sergio did in Saudi Arabia last weekend. Of course, he was DQ'd for damaging the greens and slamming his wedge into this bunker. And I know Tiger would never damage greens, but he would throw the clubs around a little bit. But he always got a pass because he was so great. But Sergio has done this a few times.
Yeah, but intentionally damaging greens is another level.
That's another level. Very
that
embarrassing.
That is another level. That's why I got DQ'd.
And then Brooks Koepka, of course, coming out and saying some things about him. So
what did Koepka say? I didn't hear.
I just said you got to grow up. You know, you're 40.
He said you're 40 years old. It's time to grow up, basically.
what is your take on this?
My first response was surprise that he would do something that blatant. I mean, five greens. I mean, if it happens once, it's inexcusable. But any of us who play golf could see how it might happen. You know, you're having a bad day. He's having a bad week. Right. And you know, so he misses a short putt and all of a sudden he's damaged the green. And usually that shocks you back to reality. Like, what did I just do? Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. But he did it four more times, which is why they ultimately DQ'd him. I'm not exactly sure what's going on here. I do know this. I wrote a column about it for Golf World, and when I was giving it some thought, I remembered back to the night, and bear with me here for a minute, guys, the night that Maryland won the national championship. Mm-hmm. And I was on the court in Atlanta, and Gary was cutting down the net, and I was talking to Gary's daughter, Kristen, and she said to me, maybe now he can relax a little. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her. I said, have you met your father? Mm-hmm. Because there's no way Gary Williams was ever going to relax. And years later, Gary told me it actually made him more uptight and more intense.
Wanted to do it
again.
He
felt like his team was being scrutinized and he was being scrutinized more closely because they'd been national champions. Right. Sergio won the Masters almost 2 years ago now. And I think initially there was the joyride and the victory march around golf that everybody was happy about because he waited so long to win a major and he got married and became a dad and it was all good. But he's always been a very intense competitor and has had those outbursts you mentioned, Jason, in the past. And I think he missed the cut in all four majors last year.
Mm-hmm.
He did play well in the Ryder Cup. But other than that and a tournament in Spain – he hasn't played very well since winning the Masters, and I suspect it's getting to him. He's frustrated. He feels like more people are watching him and that people are going to start saying, well, he won his Masters and he retired, sort of the way Darren Clark did after he won the British Open, because he did retire.
Hmm.
I know Sergio, and I like him, but I'm not sure I know him well enough, and I'm not a psychiatrist, to understand exactly what's going on with him, but I think that might be some of it.
Yeah, I would have thought he would have been in a happy place. He got married. I believe he just had a kid.
Well, that's what everybody thought.
Last March, yeah almost a year ago.
But I guess you're right. I guess the pressures of just not making these cuts is really good.
I think also, you can't get around it. He's one of these guys, a prodigy, right? Kind of spoiled, had the world at his feet, right? Probably since he was 13, 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're spoiled babies.
Well, part of the problem with Sergio in his 20s was because, you know, he at 19, he almost won the PGA. You remember his famous shot at Medina when he chased the ball down the fairway and played very well in the Ryder Cup that year, which was a harbinger of his Ryder Cup play. But he did become a huge star. He was the next one. He was going to be Tiger's big challenger. And so he did make a lot of money early. And he was treated like a superstar early before he'd won anything that really mattered. And I think that did affect him for a long time. There was a tendency, you know, I'll go count my millions when he didn't win. Then, as he got older, he did become frustrated. I remember walking around with him at the Masters probably 9 or 10 years ago now when he was in contention starting the third round, double bogeyed the first hole, and just went into a snit for the next 17 holes. And he was that way. He was temperamental. And remember, he took a break from golf in 2010 because he was so frustrated. So, yeah, he's had those ups and downs for sure.
All right, have to get your take on the Wizards. It's just sort of fascinating. It's terrible what's happening. I mean, the John Wall story, I feel so bad for the guy. But, I mean, that's a game changer. I think it's a game changer for him. He'll never be the same player. I think the team immediately recognized it. And 4 or 5 days after Ted said they're never breaking this thing up, they started to break it up.
Yeah, well, there's no question that Wall get injuring that Achilles, and you know, there's a good likelihood he won't play even at all next season. He might come back late in the season, and as you said, with an Achilles injury and a guard whose ability to explode into the lane is his game, you don't know who he will be whenever he does come back, and they're stuck with the max contract. I said to you guys that I didn't think they needed to sign it last year, that they should wait. And not thinking he'd be injured, just because I'm not sure that John Wall ever should have been a Supermax player to begin with. He's a very good player. Supermax player to me should be a very, very exclusive group. But it's done. They have the contract. And, you know, the Porter thing was always, you know, a toss up one way or the other when they signed him to his max deal. And what they're doing here, I was a little disappointed. I don't know if you guys read Candace Buckner's story this morning, but it said that one of the goals for Leontis and thus Grunfeld, once Wall got hurt, was to make a deal that would get them under the luxury tax. Right. I mean, who cares about the luxury tax? Ted Leontis is a rich guy. If you want to clear salary cap money so you can try to sign people, that part I get. And, of course, with a Supermax contract, that's difficult to do. But the deal they made, I think, was to get Porter off the payroll, which I understand. And they brought back two guys probably who won't be here next year. Right. Parker's been a flameout since he was drafted with the number two pick 5 years ago now. He's been hurt. His offense is okay. He can't guard anybody. His defense is horrible. So you let him go.
He'll fit right in with the Wizards with the horrible defense. Yeah,
there's no question. He'll fit right in because he won't guard anybody. And the Portis kid, I think, you know, has some potential. But to bring him back next year, they'll have to pay him $20 million on a team option, and I don't see them doing that. So basically, the trade was to clear cap space eventually by getting Porter off the payroll. And, you know, they got to almost start from scratch.
Are you pro-tank?
Great player.
Are you pro-tank,
Bradley Beal.
John?
That's it. Sorry?
Are you pro-tank?
Not tank in a sense of not trying to win, but, yeah, I don't mind the idea of trading off players and saying we're going to lose games and end up with a lottery pick. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I think it's become too much of a trend, particularly in baseball. But at this point, you got to be realistic. I mean, if you make the playoffs, the Bucks are going to sweep you. So why not put yourself in the lottery, give yourself an outside chance to move up and start to rebuild? Because they're rebuilding from scratch. I mean, everybody's saying, oh, Thomas Satoransky and Brian. I mean, they're okay, but you need three stars to have a chance to compete. Forget making the playoffs. You're supposed to be competing for a championship. You need three real stars. Porter was never going to be that third star, and they needed one of the other stars to be a bigger guy than a guard. And they don't have that. They've never had that. Wall is a star. Beal is a star. But they didn't have nearly enough. So now they got to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, how do we build a team where we'll have three stars? And by the way, this all started, let's be honest, when Wall and Marcin Gortat couldn't get along. That's where all this started. That didn't lead to Wall being injured, but it led to them signing Dwight Howard, who was always injured, you know, and Ted's acting like they signed a young Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when they signed Howard. It was always a headache. There was a reason he was with five teams in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And they made some bad moves. And one of them was signing Wall to the Supermax contract. And I agree with you, Eric. I feel bad that he's hurt. I feel bad anybody gets hurt.
Yep.
John, part of what really rankled me is when Ernie was asked about the moves. He said, well, we did them to stay competitive. What is he talking about? They're 10 games below 500, and they're allowing nearly 150 points to teams.
Yeah, I would start with the notion of stay. 22-31 is competitive. The only reason they're even, you know, on the outside look of the playoff picture is because the East is so bad after the first five teams. Yeah, I know that's a ridiculous comment. Ridiculous. And if I were a fan of the team, it would make me angry.
Oh, it makes me angry.
I don't blame you. Yeah. I don't blame you.
What do you make? I mean, we have Brooks on every other week, and he's just a really genuinely nice guy.
I think he's a good guy and a good coach.
I think he must be a good coach, but I do question it. This team clearly does not respond to him defensively. They just clearly, it's not working. And, you know, I don't know what they should do, but, I it's not working.
No, it's definitely not working, and to me, that's on the players. And it's also on, you know, there's some guys who just aren't good at defense. They try, and they're not good. Yeah. I'm not sure if these guys are trying or not.
Yeah, that's the problem, though. I don't think he's not getting them to try.
And yeah, but I'm not sure if that's on him or if that's on them.
Well, it's obviously
on
them.
It's one of those deals where coaches often get fired because you can't fire a whole team.
Right.
And Scott may lose his job at the end of this season. But the reason they're this bad is not because of Scott Brooks. He was a good hire.
I think so, but they're not responding to him. Like, he can't figure it out. You know what I mean?
Right. Dean Smith, I once asked Dean Smith, what's the key to being a great coach? He said great players. Okay, right. It doesn't matter how good a coach you are. If you don't have the right players, or if you don't have players with a good attitude, then you, no matter how good a coach you are, they're not going to win.
He was actually on to something.
I mean, there's a reason Mike Krzyzewski was 38-47 his first 3 years. He didn't have good players.
Understood. He was actually on to something, though, the other night. We argued about it when the backups brought him back from 25, and in the last few seconds there when they had the last ball situation, tie ball game.
He sent a message.
He had Bradley Beal was not on the court. He stayed with the guys. Now, these guys did not give him the best chance to win, but he stayed with those guys. He needs to do more of that.
Yeah, he does need to do more of that, and he obviously did what he did as much out of frustration as desperation. But the fact that they were down 25, that's the story. They're down 25 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are you kidding me?
They're down 25 every game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, it's brutal.
Yeah.
And then they pop up for one game against a good team. They'll play the Warriors, and they'll play them to the buzzer. That tells you there is talent there.
Exactly.
But they're just not doing their job.
Yeah,
they don't care enough.
Yeah, I think it's gotten to the point where some of these guys they're too G'd up. Everyone's too comfortable.
Yeah, comfortable is not a good thing in any sport.
Yeah. All right, John. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too,
John.
Bye.
Feinstein. I don't know. I get pissed when I start thinking about the Wizards.
John is going to sit down tonight and watch every last second of Wiz Cavaliers. I'm convinced of it. That's his Friday night.
You think he watched
no.
2 minutes of it?
No, of course not. Right.
He's going to watch Army AU tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Oh yeah,
probably calling the game.
Making some money.
Exactly.
All right, that was best-selling author John Feinstein. When we come back, we'll open up the entertainment page. What do you got, EB?
I got some good stuff. Let me see. I got
some Cosby news.
I got Cosby. I got
And we have a hitter hurting.
Oh, we do.
Very good.
Yep.
Oh, that's really good. All right. Well, maybe we'll lead
it's pie
with the
or poo, by the way.
Pie or poo, hit or hurt. It's all the same. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Remember, you can join your boy Cakes and Greater Fort Lauderdale for our Rock the Red pregame party at Clyde's Gallery Place tomorrow, starting at 5 p.m. Hang out and enter for a chance to win a trip to Fort Lauderdale to see your team take on Florida. Details at thefandc.com/events. So hope to see a lot of people out at Clyde's tomorrow night.
I know we're going to dive into the entertainment page here in a second, and it's kind of entertainment related. I don't remember if we talked about this on air or off air. And it deserves mention on air if we didn't mention it. Because I just resaw the story. And I remember Cakes talking about it. I believe it was off air. The Lenny Dykstra update. That was off air, right?
That was off air. I don't think we didn't touch on that.
I just resaw the headline that his neighbors are saying that
resaw sounds hurting. Whatever. I mean, you said it twice in the last 15 seconds. It just
You're right.
It just sounds like you're
rewatched. You reread.
I just saw the story once again.
Right.
And the headline is that the neighbors are upset because his home is a den of drugs and prostitution.
What is going on? It sounds like he has moved into this neighborhood in somewhere in New Jersey, and that basically he's renting out rooms to people. He's turned it into basically like a flop house or like a seedy like motel type of deal,
right?
Where he's subletting the rooms.
Yeah. They say it's a boarding house.
Yes, he's turned it into a boarding house, basically, in this, I guess, nice neighborhood in New Jersey. Right. And the other residents are upset.
They should be.
They're upset. It says the traffic here, the overdoses, the cars being towed, someone throwing yellow liquid out the second floor window. I mean, the trash.
That's your guy.
That's my buddy. I didn't even know he moved from L.A. to New Jersey.
Probably got kicked out of the house.
He's a disaster. You want Lenny Dykstra moving into your neighborhood?
He is a mess. It says after he's told
to move everybody out, and he was fine, the next week he also put again on social media advertising rooms for $1,000
a month. I saw one neighbor that said people are ringing their doorbell at 11 o'clock claiming that they're Domino's pizza delivery people with no pizzas in their hand. They're just donks who are hanging out at Lenny's house. It's a disaster. What's going on there?
Did he move to New Jersey because of the trial?
Could be.
I have no idea.
He owns a home in Linden, New Jersey.
He actually owns a home.
Maybe he loves the Borgata, wants to be closer. I don't know. I can't explain why he moved to New Jersey.
I'm sure he had to be out here for his
Linden,
court
New
appearances.
Jersey.
Is it?
Isn't that where Tribe Called Quest is from? Linden, New Jersey?
Maybe. Look it up.
Anyway, so he's just a complete mess.
Yeah.
He really is.
He had a funny social media post the other day. I saw it on Twitter. I don't know if it was on Instagram, where he said, don't worry. Apparently, he wasn't voted into the Phillies Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And he said, don't worry. You know, I wasn't voted into the Phillies Hall of Fame, but it's okay. He goes, because, see, I banged all the Phillies execs' daughters, and that's why they won't put me
that's
in.
That's funny. That is funny.
It's a big conspiracy
that's
theory.
Something he would say, too.
All right.
I just remember being in his apartment.
Yeah.
Because he had a studio apartment.
Like a Fonzie pad.
Above a garage.
Literally a Fonzie pad.
Of a $5 million home.
Right. Yeah.
That he didn't own. He just rented the garage out.
Right.
And I just remember being up there with me and Ryan the bellman. And it's he was bizarre. On the computer, and we were having a cocktail.
Will you say what he was searching for?
He was searching for hookers
right.
on back page.
Right.
And he was trying to get hookers up to his...
You guys had literally just met.
We went out to the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Right.
And hung out in their bar.
Who paid for drinks?
I think I bought the drinks there.
You did?
Yeah.
Because he's kind of felted.
And they were butt expensive,
I'm sure
too.
They were.
They were like $25 for a vodka.
Right.
Believe me, that hurt. But we went back. He had a bottle of vodka in his house, in his apartment.
Right. Didn't he send you out to go get beer or something, too?
He sent us out to go get...
Cigs or something?
He sent us out to go get, like, Monster Energy drinks or Red Bull.
Right, because he doesn't want to sleep. He wants to keep the party going and going.
So Brian and I went out, because I rented a car. I went out, and we went to this, you know, gas station, picked up some Red Bull, went back to his house, and I just watched him. Try and get hookers to the house.
Now, were you laughing?
Hysterical.
Were you laughing? Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't
believe
it.
Was he just making fun of all the girls?
I was taking pictures of it. I was texting you. Yeah. I couldn't believe what I was doing.
Right.
Right.
And he was telling stories. I mean, it was just a surreal night.
God, I wish
I'll never forget it.
I wish you would have recorded some of it. like video. You know, it's like the stories.
I might have some. I definitely have pictures.
Right.
I got to check my camera. I might have a video. But he was a complete mess. You couldn't even understand him because right. he was hammered.
Did he ultimately close the deal with a back page hooker?
No, I left, and I think Ryan left, and I'm sure he did later.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
But no, he's not when
he might be the horniest guy on the planet.
Pretty horny.
I mean, I've heard some interviews with him on Stern, and that guy is 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah,
just a mess, man.
Let's go to Maggie in Potomac. Maggie, what's up? You're on with the Junkies. How are you, Maggie?
I'm good. Good morning. I enjoy your show so much.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Maggie.
Yeah. So I have a question.
All right.
So did you guys send a recovery get well card to John Wall?
Hold on. Is that a serious question?
Why would we do that? He doesn't really know us. He doesn't care what we think.
Yeah, of course he knows you because he's probably listening to you right now.
No. Trust me.
There's no chance.
My guess is he's not up.
Yeah, he's passed out for sure.
Why would he be passed out?
He just sleeps.
Because he sleeps in.
Did you send him a get well card?
Well, I did. And I'm expecting that you guys would do the same. You know,
Did you send one to Albert?
Is she being real? I don't know.
Being serious because she's upset at the lack of positive attention we're giving the Wizards and local teams.
Maggie, okay. Did you send one to Alex
Smith?
And then
I'm really negative. There's a lot of negative energy coming out of the radio station.
Okay. So let's get to the bottom of this. Hold on.
I just want to ask, did you send a get well card to Alex Smith, the quarterback for the Redskins?
I did, yeah.
You did?
All right, so
did you ever get responses?
Nobody does. Yeah. I'm glad that you guys let me talk to you. But, you know, these are huge injuries.
Oh, yeah, they're devastating.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are you, Maggie?
I'm the same age as you. I went to school in Montgomery County.
Oh, really?
Wooten High School. You were in high school, yeah. We're the same age.
You're an 88 grad?
Yeah, what year did you graduate high school?
Well, that's personal.
Well, then how do you know you're the same age as us?
Because you're on the radio and then the internet. I know how old you are.
Well, why wouldn't you just tell us?
We're 48.
You know? Oh, my God.
Are you telling me you're 48?
No, I'm 25.
All right.
She's doing a bit. I'm done. Have fun writing cards.
I agree, thanks. She sounds at least 70. I mean,
there's no way she's 48. I'm sorry. She's just not.
It's not possible.
And there's also no way if she's
the same age as me, it's time to retire.
There's also no way we're sending
him. I gotta retire.
I love John Wall, but I'm not sending him a get well card.
Well, I wanted to get into it, but then she's so.
Here's my get well card.
Getting upset.
Get well soon. Hope you have a great recovery. There it is.
No, I mean, it's nice that she sent the get well card. I think a lot of people probably do that. But that's not appropriate for us.
I hope Maggie knows her card is sitting at the bottom of a trash can unopened.
But they probably appreciate it.
I mean, it's very sweet.
Yeah,
whatever. Send it to everybody. A lot of people, though, do get upset that we're negative on the local teams. Here's what I say. We're not cheerleaders, and the local teams have been bad.
No. I would be a cheerleader if they're winning.
Right.
Of course I would cheerlead.
But we're not going to falsely pump up a team that is spiraling out of control, that's giving up 50 points in the first quarter.
Who tells you that?
A lot of people. You'll see it on social media. Say we're too negative. I'm like, we weren't negative during RG3's year and the team started rolling.
We were pretty positive during the Cap Stanley Cup run last time I checked when there was something to be cheery about.
We were negative in the first round.
I was very negative when they lost the first two to Columbus.
But I just think that's keeping it real. That's a real fan's perspective. When they were down 2-0, the odds were stacked against them.
Yeah.
That's facts. That's probability.
Right. I would love, what was her deal? So she's just upset. She thought the radio station was being too negative towards the team. Is that the idea?
All the teams.
She thinks that.
She's just one of those listeners. People have different perspectives that they feel that JP's in a different opinion to that is that when the team sucks, you guys should still be positive about
the team. That's not our job. She doesn't understand that's not our job.
Most people don't understand that. That is not your job.
That's maybe the job, maybe, of Buck. And the guys are employed by the team
to promote the team.
We're not employed by the team.
It's not possible!
Our job is to kind of reflect and, frankly, just talk about what's interesting to us.
No!
Actually, your job is to get ratings.
Exactly.
And also fans.
Not necessarily talk about sports.
Fans who
ratings.
Stay positive about teams who are struggling and have years of, you know, a history of struggling, they're not real sports fans. They don't know anything about sports. I'm tired of those people.
You need them out of your life.
First, you can't be delusional. The same thing during the Redskins season. They want us to be cheerleaders. Some people.
There's a minority. It's a minority, though. Say, it is a minority.
Yeah, but you just got to say, look, this is the deal with the team. Their offense stinks. Their defense stinks. Their coach is mediocre.
It's called living in the real world.
All right, let's do this. Okay. When we come back.
You shouldn't even read those.
When we come back, we're not going to bum rush it. We're doing the EP, and we're going to start off right away with Pyre Poo.
Mm-hmm. Poo.
Can you
I'm going
me
to
a
blind.
Hint?
Poo.
Can you
no,
give me a
no.
Hint?
The, remember, the
do
whole name of the game is no. Okay. We're not allowed to know. And I don't even think you could give us a hint, right?
I mean, I thought you guys wanted to go in blind.
Yeah, you go in blind. You have to go in blind. Because if you know it's Taylor Swift, then you're just going to say hit.
No, I just wanted a hint. Like, what kind of music is it?
Can you do
is
that?
Is it pop? Is it a poppy?
It's a pop hit.
All right.
I'll go in Mookie.
You're saying it's a pop hit. Is that
well, I'm just, well, it's just, it would be on the pop channels. Like okay. The hits one or whatever you would call it.
Gotcha.
Are they either of the ones we heard in the studio together when we did our impromptu listening party?
No, it's not that.
Right. Right.
Those are both hits.
All right, we'll lead off with that, and then I got a bunch of other stories. And we'll talk about Jessica Simpson, who apparently has gained 100 pounds in his pregnancy, which God bless her.
She's a beach ball.
When I read the headline, it said, this is what I honestly thought. I read the headline, it says, Jessica Simpson takes her massive baby bump to the hospital. I thought it said, takes a massive dump.
Boom, boom, beach.
Hope you lit a candle.
All right, we'll do that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. 20, we need an AWOD update. He has taken our advice, or more really Valdez's advice. I don't know if you know this. He's now downgraded.
This is Matt Valdez.
He's no longer going out in Clarendon. He's going out in Adams Morgan.
Oh, he is. Okay.
And he claims he's getting a little more action.
So he's setting his sights lower.
Getting a little bit more. Wait until you hear what he interprets as flirting.
Okay.
Right. Wait until you hear what
it's
he
a good
interprets.
Good radio tease right
as
there.
Flirting.
Since right. It's a Friday, I can take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, insider. He's now been given 2 hours this weekend.
Wow.
Radio
on
insider.
Saturday. CK, obviously, clearly no one can work. So CK added an extra hour.
I think CK fell out of bed onto his head.
Yeah.
So what, I mean,
it's
like,
Chris O'Kay.
Everyone's busy, and they had an extra hour, so they threw in another hour. I got to say, that's
CK
pretty...
likes him.
Yeah, I like him, too.
Is he a lieutenant in the AWOD Army?
He might be. CK. And I like him, but he has energy. I mean, he's so dumb, but he's funny.
I think
and
that's what he partly likes
colossally
about him.
Dumb. He's really dumb, but yeah. He's a nice kid, and he has a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And so you want to see if there's anything, if he can find his voice amongst all that energy.
Right.
Doubtful, but it'll be fun. To, you know, it's kind of like the headline they wrote about us in the Washington Post when we first came out, right? They're... What was the last
another one
quote?
You're talking about?
Kind of
like they talk over each other, they blah blah blah. But if they go down with the ship,
it'll be
if they
fun
go
to listen
ship,
to them as they go down with the ship.
It wasn't as it was if they go down the ship, at least they'll have some fun. Something like that.
They probably assumed it was going to.
They assumed the headline.
Whoever wrote the
situation was they were going down with the ship, but it's kind of fun while it lasts.
I'll try and find that during.
That's
Pyre
basically
Poo.
What Adam shows. So anyway, what is it? 7 to 9 Saturday night.
Yes.
All right. We got to make sure everybody tunes in for that. All right.
Are you going to watch the UVA Duke game while you're doing your show?
You give updates, maybe.
I'll give updates.
He'll be so distracted, though.
No, that's isn't
he's
that
doing
Saturday?
It by himself.
My show is Sunday.
Your Sunday.
Oh, your show is Sunday.
The Caps
oh.
are playing on Saturdays. No chance you're preempting the Capitals.
Right. But I will be doing a local college basketball update segment, which right. will include UVA.
Right. Okay.
Sounds fun.
Great. All right. Here we go.
I'm sure you'll break it down.
Now, Valdez. This is a super famous artist, or shouldn't even say? Shouldn't even say.
I won't give any clues about the artist.
All right, here's
I just gave the genre.
Hint. I need another hint.
Right.
Do I like this artist? Do you know for a fact I like this artist?
I can't say
does
that.
Does anybody in this room
I don't think you can answer
like
that.
This artist?
I don't know if I can say that either.
You can't ask right. that question.
All right, without further ado, just play the clip.
Against the rules.
Pyre right. poo. Here we go. Is this already released? You got me some type of way. Ain't just a feeling this way. I do not know what to say. It's a hit. Yeah, I don't have to like it, but it's a hit. It's a hit. Who is it? Is it Rihanna?
It's Ariana.
Oh, it's Ariana? Yeah. That's a hit.
Everything she puts out is a hit.
I mean, I guess it's a hit.
That's a hit. You don't have to like it. That's a hit, though.
It'll be a hit, yeah. It's not better than her last.
By the way, Jason, have you been laying the groundwork for tickets to Ariana?
Jim Van Stone, my friend.
Very good.
What's the name of the song?
Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored.
Is she talking about one of her failed relationships again?
She's talking about how she wants to bang some dude that has a girlfriend.
Interesting.
She's very sexual now. I get a little bit tight.
She really is.
Well, didn't she brag about Pete Davidson's junk?
Yes. Yes.
How silly it was.
But again, yeah. Remember her hand is about this. Her That's hands are like Rob's. They're very tiny.
Right. I like
it could be an optical illusion.
Tiny hands.
He'd be a found
Which I'm
quote.
In favor of. I'll tweet this at Junk's Radio, but the quote
the
was
smash.
They talk on top of each other. It's hard to tell them apart. They laugh at their own lines, and they often act half their age.
It's very accurate.
But if shock is what sells on talk radio, they've got it made. Whether the topic is Frank Gifford or big fat baseball players, the junkies push the envelope.
No, but where's the as they go down with the ship quote?
Ooh.
That's at the very right. end of the article. I didn't want to hear the jocking part.
JP can't get it on his tiny little phone. I mean, he can't get all the article all up at once.
That was written, I think, in 1996, right?
Can we start a GoFundMe
to
get JP
to
a computer?
Who actually wrote that?
I think it was Mark.
Paul
Fari?
Mark Fisher.
Mark Fisher.
Yeah.
Is he still in the market?
I mean, how would you know that? That article's butt old.
I don't know.
Because we still are.
I don't know.
I know that.
I'm not sure about him.
Oh, I like what you're doing. I like.
You see, Jason does not take criticism well.
I know for a fact that this line will irk Jason, even though this is from 1997.
He was irked by the first one, which is very complimentary.
Well, I was irked when he said we all sound like, I don't sound anything like Cakes.
You mean you don't sound silly like me?
This is really going to irk
him. Hi, my name's Cakes.
1997. The junkies are sometimes funny, sometimes far too impressed with their own creative skills. And then it goes on, and where's the
talk
down with the ship? I don't really see it.
It's at the very end. It was like the last sentence of the argument.
But in an era when talk radio often means little more than listening to somebody shoot the breeze in front of a microphone, the junkies at least begin armed with a youthful disdain for the rules. The kids take chances. Even if they die
Wish
out
I was
there,
a kid.
It'll be worth listening to them go down.
That's
with
all
ship.
I wanted, that quote.
Yeah.
Your guys they die out there.
He's
even if they
the
die
market.
Out there.
He's still here.
And that's what I would say is the approach with Adam.
How you doing, Mark?
So, where does he work? Does he still work at the Post?
Washington Post.
What's he do?
This is an old link.
What does he do, like politics or something?
Senior editor reporting on a wide range of topics.
Oh, okay. He does a little of everything.
I guess.
So,
you should
that's,
do a 23rd anniversary article on the Junks.
Probably should.
That's Ariana Grande's new single. They
By
are
the way, her song, Breathing's... Just pummels that.
Well,
song.
You know, like most things, yeah, I bet you hear that
it's,
10 times.
It's slated to be her next single, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, what, sure
we never heard the hook, though, did we?
Yeah, we did.
It was just break up with your girlfriend.
You want me to rewind it?
No.
It was just break up with your girlfriend. Is that the hook?
You're going to play it again.
It's okay, Cakes. What else are you going to do?
Right. Friday.
You know what? It's better than you playing Daniel Bergoli. So there's that.
I'm not sure. All right, Cakes, did you
boring,
be into this?
Overproduced slick pop. If you like that, you're a soulless person. That's my take.
Break up with your girlfriend. Whatever.
You can hit it in the morning. So
that's all she talks about is banging.
Right. And you're going to take your daughter to
she
it.
She likes it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's right. What can I do?
Yeah, I don't know. Should see what my kids listen to. The worst.
I mean, what am I going to do? Do I handcuff her to her bed?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got to get out and live.
Yeah, right. Got to live.
She's got to have a life.
Terrible
take
world.
Her computer and phone away.
Yeah, it's a terrible world.
She'll be out running the streets.
I think if anybody here would do this, I think I actually think two guys would do this, Valdez and Drabby. They would watch a 462-pound woman gorge on 10,000 calories a day. She has a legion of fans who watch her online just eat.
It's the widest cam ever.
Yeah.
So much weird stuff out there and what people are into.
I mean, that interests me not at all, but yeah, I can see Drabby being perversely.
Where do I find that link?
I don't know. What do you mean?
What's her name?
Oh, so you are interested.
Well, you've piqued me.
Yeah. Just Google it. 462-pound woman, gorgeous on 10,000 calories a day, and has got a bunch of fans.
Yeah, live streamer,
and
eating
I could
a burger.
See, and I could see Valdez.
Why me?
Because you're into, like, weird
hamburger
stuff. I could see you being into that. But
you're the one who admits you want to watch conjugal visit porno.
Okay, that's adult content. You're just watching you would watch a fat girl eat. Like, I could see you doing that. And I could actually see Drab turning it into something pornographic.
I'm not a BBW guy.
You're not?
Not really.
It's not your thing. All right, what else
maybe,
is out there?
Maybe Adam could crush it.
By the way, 10,000 calories a day. That
you got to really go to work.
That's a lot.
What do you have to eat for 10,000? Is that two whole pizzas?
That's called Adam's cheat day.
It's actually not that much. It really isn't, like, if you eat terribly.
Yeah.
So when I went to, you know, these menus now, they scare you to order anything. So when I was at Longhorn, everything is calories, right? And I was like, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm getting the broccoli.
French fries, like 600 calories. Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Like, JP likes a brownie sundae.
Yeah.
The brownie sundae thing they had there was 2,400 calories.
Oh, my God, that's absurd.
Yeah, you can't do
I was
that.
Like, who's going to order that?
And by the way, I've pummeled that from there before.
You have?
Yeah.
Do you know it's supposed to be for two people?
You don't chop it?
I usually share.
Yeah, you
chop it. Yeah, you got to share
it. That's 2,400, that one order.
So good, though.
Well, what do you think the carrot cake is at the Palm?
It's unbelievable.
Well, it's the size of my computer, too.
I have no idea.
I had a money sea bass last night.
You did?
Yeah, from Bonefish.
Ah, very
good. That's
your
Thursday night haunt.
Well, I was watching Pebble, and I ordered some dinner.
By the way, on a...
And I had sea bass, jasmine rice, and broccoli, and you got to put the Pan Asian sauce on the
rice. I'm sure you
do. Oh,
so did you see the story about the guy who was fishing for sea bass? By the way, I didn't know that you could fish for them. For Sebastian Janikowski. Off the coast of Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
He spotted and filmed, not one, two killer whales breaching and jumping out of the water.
Where?
Off the coast of Virginia Beach.
Right.
I think I've seen, you know,
killer
what?
Whales?
Not killer. I've seen whales before at Ocean City, but not killer whales.
Whales, yes. Yeah. I thought killer whales lived like over near like where Drab's from. Like
what,
near
what?
Seattle.
I thought they were in Alaska.
What makes
it? They heard we're going to be broadcasting out of Norfolk.
Is that what it is?
And they're up there now in the area.
I was stunned by that.
I don't even know the difference between a killer whale and a regular whale other than the name.
What do they look like? Shamu.
Yeah,
yeah, they're black and white.
I don't know what Shamu is.
It's a type of whale.
Yeah.
An orca.
I'm not an animal person.
You've seen black and white whales. Those black and white ones?
Okay, a black and white whale?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what they're called.
I've seen like a penguin.
It's like top of the food chain.
The ones that jump around in SeaWorld.
Those are what?
Free Willy.
Killer whales.
Those are killer whales?
Yes.
Oh. I don't know the difference.
You know the difference.
Like, do they eat something different? A killer whale? Yeah. Why are they labeled killer?
They're carnivores. Yeah.
Okay. They will eat you.
A regular whale.
I'm not
going to
be in a contact with a freaking whale. Unless they go up to about the 2 feet at the Outer Banks. Then they might
that know. Is surprising.
I didn't know that they were in those waters.
I thought they were off of like.
It's kind of stunning.
I thought they were off of Pebble Beach.
Right.
I didn't know that there was Virginia Beach. Sea bass. So next time I'm not going to get a silly Chilean. I'm going to ask for the Virginia Beach sea bass.
I was shocked by that too.
I didn't know that existed.
That's true. Why does chili not me?
Yeah, I always get silly Chilean.
That's
sea
a long
bass.
Way to go for sea bass.
You got it right here in Virginia Beach.
Go to Chile.
I'm going to tell him I want a Michael Vick. Right. What are you going on to Chile for?
I didn't know killer whales lived outside of Norfolk and listened to the Junks.
All right, we'll come back with more right here on the Junkies.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.